Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
5 o'clock on a Wednesday, not just any Wednesday, a Game 5 of the World Series Wednesday. The gates have just opened, so Yankee fans are descending in. They're running to their seats, or they're running to the kind of the outfield porches to try to catch a home run during batting practice, will start real soon. As the Yankees get set to play Game 5 of the World Series tonight against the L.A. Dodgers. A lot to get to, including Gerrit Cole and the expectations for him. We'll get back to your phone calls. But for the first time in a while, I'm very proud to say this. And on time, Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I feel dirty. I'm going back to the well. Yesterday, I gave you the five things the Yankees could lean on from Game 4 of the ALCS in 2004, and it worked.
Yes, it did.
So I'm giving you the five things the Yankees can lean on from Game 5 of the 2004 ALCS from the Boston Red Sox that worked. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Giancarlo needs to mash. Why, you say? Because in that game, in Game 5 of the 2004 ALCS, the Boston Red Sox had a cleanup hitting DH, although Giancarlo's batting fifth. He shall not be named. He had two hits and three of the Boston 5 RBI in that game. So it was a big DH day for Boston.
Whoop, whoop.
That's crazy.
He's actually in the building.
Yes, he is.
We're not naming him.
We can't say his name.
Is he named?
Like Voldemort? He who shall not be named?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I did say his name earlier when Tiki was saying, look, Otani's not a rival. He's not like, and then I filled in the blank with blank.
No.
So we've said his name today.
I channeled the Yankee Stadium ghost. We're not channeling the Red Sox ghost.
He was pretty good to me when I did batting practice with the Red Sox when I was working at the Today Show. He was great.
I met him too, and he was great. Yeah. I couldn't even hate him in person. Here
exactly.
We go.
Number four.
Number four. Gerrit Cole does not have to pitch great. It's not the end of the world. Why, you say? In Game 5 of the 2004 ALCS, the Red Sox also pitched their ace, Pedro Martinez. Do you know what he did that night? He gave up 7 hits in 6 innings, and Boston still won.
You want to know why? Because the Yankees were his daddy.
That's right.
Sometimes you
got to tip your cap. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The Yankees also can't let the Dodgers star leadoff hitter beat them tonight because Boston didn't let the Yankees star leadoff hitter beat them in Game 5 of the 2004 ALCS. It was Derek Jeter of the Yankees who got up 7 times and mustered just 1 hit in Game 5.
Crazy.
So 7 times.
Yeah, because the game went 14 or 15 innings, right?
More on that.
All right.
Here we go.
Number two.
Score first. The Yankees haven't been able to do that because of Freddie Freeman, but the Red Sox did in Game 5 of the 2004 ALCS with 2 runs in the first for themselves. The runs were needed. The game ended being up 5-4, 4-4 after the ninth, so the 2 runs were critical to score first.
But what's crazy is that the Red Sox, much like Game 4, they were losing in that game late.
Yes.
They were down 2 runs in the 8th inning when they tied it up, and in Game 4, they were down 1 run. That was the Dave Roberts game.
But when you stash runs in your pocket early, you always have a chance. Here we go.
Number 1.
And last but not least, number 1. The Yankees preserving the bullpen last night was huge because many forget Game 5 went 14 innings in 2004. So not having to go back to Weaver in the 9th, not using Tommy Canley, not ever having to touch basically Jake Cousins, that could matter. If this game's a long game tonight, we could look back on, thank God the Yankees bullpen was still fresh.
So
One thing that would be great, and I clearly say this as an IBO, because I know that the Yankee fan and the Dodger fan may not agree with me when I say this, but don't we need a good old-fashioned 14-inning baseball game?
No.
No, not when your kid has to be at school by 8:30. Hey,
and by the way, so that Yankee-Red Sox game was a 14-inning game, and the time of the game, are you ready for this? Pre-pitch clock. 5 hours and 49 minutes.
Oh my! It's okay. An entire NFL Sunday.
That's actually shorter than I would have thought.
You expected longer?
Yeah, I would have expected longer. Yeah. But I agree with Sean. You can't have a late night tonight because you know what tomorrow is?
Halloween.
It's Halloween, which means you have like school costume parades.
Oh, I know.
We gotta go to.
I know.
And that, class parties that we're gonna go to.
And when that Yankee game occurred, it was a 5 o'clock first pitch. So yeah, it went 6 hours. It was still over at a reasonable time. If tonight's game went 6 hours, that takes us to 2 a.m.?
Yeah, when did they start putting it fully in primetime?
Well, it was. It was the LCS, and so, you know, the LCS flips between the NLCS.
Got it.
So it's kind of like what we just experienced, but obviously in the World Series, it's all 8:08.
Always, yeah.
8:08.
So there you go. And by the way, tomorrow, Cinco, glad you mentioned it, Tiki, the 5 up-to-date best Halloween candies you can have now.
Candies?
That's what Halloween's about. What do you mean, candies?
Isn't it about dressing up?
Give them nickels.
Is that what you give at the barber household?
No.
How badly does your house get out?
Exactly. TP'd up.
If you're giving out nickels, that's a problem. So I'm glad
what if I gave out a 5?
Oh, you go a long ways. People would love that if you gave out 5s. You kidding me? I was thinking about that one year when I ran out of candy. Like, what do? Do I just start giving out money?
Dollar bills.
Luckily, I found more candy, and we were all good.
What do you mean you found? You under your couch cushions?
My wife bought another bag that I was unaware of.
Gotcha. Okay.
So but she's very prepared. So I was done thinking, oh, wow, we got no more candies, and these kids keep on coming. So then I found the other bag, and it all worked out. I'm glad you brought up the 04 Red Sox, because this is a very touchy subject, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. So as you may remember, and Susan talked about this with us yesterday, 2 years ago when the Yankees went down 3-0, there was a report, it turned out to be sort of erroneous, that the Yankees were trying to teach their players about 2004. And how you could come back.
Yeah.
And you remember how Susan was offended by it.
Yeah, of course.
And she said it was a video coordinator. It was not Aaron Boone. There's a documentary on Netflix that recently came out about the 2004 Red Sox. And Luke Weaver of the New York Yankees was asked about said documentary. I want you to take a listen to what Luke had to say. And again, I can't speak on this because this is a very complicated issue, your relationship with the 04 Red Sox and 04 Yankees. But here is what Luke Weaver had to say about the documentary and what the Red Sox accomplished 20 years ago.
I watched it all.
All right.
I watched it all. I watched it in L.A., actually, and there was a lot of great tidbits that came from that, and honestly it was a great reference to what's happening now. Obviously it's two different stories, but a very similar one indeed. I didn't think we'd be 3-0 at the time, but at the time I think we lost game one, and it was cool. It was cool to get the perspective, to understand the clubhouse dynamic, to understand what it took to get back into it, what they were thinking, what they were saying. I mean, all the many things. They did a great job with the documentary, but I think every guy should watch it now, but you know, watch it when they need to. But I thought it was cool.
So, Sean, the floor is yours, because I am admitting I don't know how you're supposed to feel about this, but since a lot of Yankee fans were bothered by the idea of Boone introducing the 04 Yankees to the 2022 Yankees, what are your thoughts on your best reliever saying what he just said about the Doc and the 04 Red Sox?
I love it. Love it.
Really?
Things have changed from 2 years ago, Evan. Things have changed.
Why, you would have hated this 2 years ago?
Yes, there's a couple reasons, and I think they're tangible here. First of all, 2 years ago, felt deader. Also, you were seeing your same opponent again that you kept losing to with the Astros. So to me, it was less about being down 3-0 and how you muster that up, and more about forget what the Red Sox did to the Yankees. Why are you even channeling that focus on the Astros? This is different. And it's the 20-year anniversary, so it's relevant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The idea and the storyline, if you've paid a close attention enough as a Yankee fan and you have streaming services, the ads running for this has been pushed down your throat. And the guy who basically is credited with starting the whole rally in the pinch run is the manager in the other dugout. So I like this young Yankee team. And Luke Weaver, think about it, he's 31, so he was 11 years old in 2004.
Right.
Maybe not fully grasping what some of us grasped in 2004. And some of these young Yankees that can look back on it and presenting it now in a World Series where such a signature figure of that is managing the team that was leading. And it's the 20-year anniversary of the Ghosts and Spirits. Lean on whatever you got.
Right.
It's desperate times. This isn't about the Astros 2 years ago. and again trying to beat them. I think it's totally different circumstances. I think every Yankee should be leaning on the 0-4 Red Sox now.
Well, you can't just ignore history.
No.
And if you can learn from it, great. Even if, because I don't think it's painful for Luke Weaver. It might be painful for Yankee fans.
Sure.
So for him to say that, you might assume that they would be upset about it. But, again, he was 11 years old. It doesn't affect him the same way. And so what he said actually was very interesting to me, that listening to the mentality of that clubhouse,
yes,
that it took for them to overcome that, that's what's important. Forget the fact that the Yankees were the victims there, but the mentality of the clubhouse is important, because that's informative, and you can take that forward without getting emotionally attached to who the two teams are.
And this is why I like it also, like you talked about what Weaver just said there, right? Oh, wow, the mentality of the clubhouse and all of this. If Yankee fans have a problem with this, and I'm a Yankee fan and I don't, what is the best way to erase the 2004 Red Sox and always having to hear about it? Become the 2004 Red Sox.
If they win this World Series, it erases 04?
We laugh at the 2004 Red Sox. We laugh at that 2004 season and go, you did it, so
yeah,
what?
Good for you.
We
guys
did it too in the World Series.
Yeah, you did it on the grander stage.
So if those players who don't have the same attachment as us are going to lean on a documentary, by the way, Boston, you all laughed and had a good time at your reunion putting together that documentary. Guess what? You could help the Yankees in turn because they're learning something, as Tiki loves to learn from documentaries, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I love it. Lean the hell out of this. Netflix, thank you. If
so your issue 2 years ago, was it being the Astros?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Look, I can't dispute that's how you feel. Just interesting hearing Susan yesterday talk about how it bothered her. And it bothered the former Yankees
because
that was being used.
Because the problem 2 years ago, again, it wasn't just about them being on 3-0 and how do you figure it out. And, oh, well, look, the Red Sox figured out. No, it was how do you figure out the Astros? Because you couldn't keep figuring them out.
Let me ask you a question, Teague. And it's not a great comparison.
Yeah.
It's the best one I could come up with. The Giants are in the playoffs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a big halftime lead. And Brian Daboll brings out a videotape of – no, the opposite. I'm sorry. The Giants are down a lot at halftime.
Yeah.
And he brings out a videotape of the game against the Niners and says, hey, I want you guys to learn from this. Would you be pissed off?
Only because I was on that team.
Well, that's why I'm asking it, because 0-4 Yankees do not like this. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that's what Susan told us yesterday. They were not happy about their name kind of being invoked in this.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd be upset about it, because I own that, and we all own that. Shockey owns it. Strahan owns it. Everybody owns that because it was an epic collapse. Maybe, I don't know if it was the biggest, but it's one of the biggest. It's either one or two.
I think the Oilers-Bills is still the biggest.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's one of the top two playoff collapses in the history of football. And it's not like you can hide from that. And I don't think we ever have. But if a current Giant team could learn something from that, great. I don't think we've ever done any documentaries on it, or I don't think the 49ers did because they kind of hated each other, that team.
You know why? They also didn't win.
And they didn't win.
Yeah, like the 0-4 Red Sox.
They went down to Tampa, and my brother and them kicked their ass.
If the 0-4 Red Sox don't win the World Series, there's no documentary.
I 100% agree with you. So it's different because of what ultimately happened.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. I appreciate that.
I'm so fired up. This is happening, by the
way. I think Sean is in this weird spot where I could say anything to him, and he'd say, it's great. I'm fired up.
Well, he's looking at all the position players out here, taking back BP.
Yeah.
Shagging balls, etc. But to me, this game is really about Gerrit Cole.
Yeah,
it's about what we get from him and how long he goes and how dominant he is.
Of course, it's about Gerrit Cole. You know what it's not about? Who's in the box right now?
DJ LeMahieu.
Why is DJ LeMahieu taking batting practice?
DJ was out there yesterday too, and he was crushing him to left field.
Great.
Can I give you the answer? By the way,
this is giving me Aaron Rodgers working out after the Achilles vibes.
Dude,
no.
Just put one in the bullpen.
You know why that's not fair? I'll tell you why DJ LeMahieu works out, why Ben Rice works out. What if, and you knock on wood, I don't want anybody to get hurt. What if Anthony Rizzo got hurt? What if he pulled a hamstring in the middle of this game?
Yeah.
You could actually change your roster. You could add somebody to your roster. So guys have to be ready just in case. But yes, I agree. It is awkward watching DJ LeMahieu.
But it's only for a little while. He only does it for a little while.
He worked on bunting 2 minutes ago.
You never know. What if he ends up on the roster?
Yeah, because when's the last time he bunted?
When's the last time he played a baseball game? The other thing we noticed, which is really interesting, is what Oswaldo Cabrera is wearing during batting practice.
I want one.
He's wearing, is that an Aaron Judge football jersey?
Aaron Judge football jersey. Sean told me it was a giveaway at the beginning of September. I don't remember this one. We usually talk about the giveaways, especially if they're there's something cool like that. I remember we did the Soto basketball jersey giveaway we talked about, but I don't remember the Aaron Judge football jersey giveaway.
I could be wrong, but I think it was the Friday night of Labor Day weekend.
Whenever it was. Oh yeah, so we weren't on air.
You know what I don't like about the jersey, and you'll appreciate this?
What's that?
From afar, it looks like a Cowboy jersey.
Yeah, but I know it's an Aaron Judge jersey.
Oh, I know.
So, by the way, a lot of Yankee fans would like that.
Right. It's a good point.
No, it's true.
More on Gerrit Cole in a few minutes. Tiki's right. He's going to be the key to the entire night. But let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Giuseppe is calling from Jericho. How you doing today, Giuseppe?
Good.
Good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, pal?
Anthony Volpe.
Yeah. Are you a big Anthony Volpe fan, Giuseppe?
Yeah.
What'd you think when he hit that grand slam till last night? What was going through your mind?
He got all the momentum going for the Yankees.
Well, he certainly helped. That grand slam brought it back. Wait, did you jump out of your chair? What were you doing? Take us through exactly what you did. I don't know if you were at the game or you're watching TV with your parents. What did you do when he went there?
I wasn't allowed, so I watched it.
You watched it at home?
At home, and I jumped up.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Did you spill your drink?
Yeah.
You did? Nice. So you're simpatico with Moore Ash over here who got beer dumped on him.
Yes, exactly the same.
Not quite the same, but close enough.
You got to make sure your parents buy you an Anthony Volpe number 11 jersey, all right? They got to take care of that,
my
right?
Mom has my mom has a crush on him.
Oh. What does dad think about
it? I know.
That?
He might be a little young for her.
Well, Giuseppe, I'm glad you had that awesome moment as a kid.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
That's a very, very cool moment.
Awesome moment as a kid. He just found out his mom loves the Yankee shortstop.
He doesn't care about
Volpe's
that.
A home wrecker.
He probably loves Anthony. He probably loves Anthony Volpe, too. You could be my dad, Anthony Volpe.
I'm on a text chain with a bunch of women. It includes my sister. It includes an old friend. Bunch of women. And you know who they have a crush on?
Who's that? Stanton?
Nope.
Who?
Nope.
Soto?
Nope.
Oh, it's a Dodger.
Nope.
Tiki Barber.
Oh, stop.
All they talked about was how sexy he was last night. I felt very uncomfortable.
Last night?
Yeah. They were like, boy, that Tiki, he is so hot.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Build that ass first.
You're very hot, Tiki. What do you want me to tell you?
Where was Colts texting shown on something?
Let's go to Richie in the Bronx. What's up, Richie?
How we doing, fellas? Good afternoon.
We're good, man.
Good afternoon, sir. What's on your mind?
I told the guy before I had to actually pass up on Yankees Game 5 tickets for tonight.
Why?
So every year, probably for the past 4 years, we get a suite for my father's birthday once he hit 80, so we've been doing it for the past couple of years, right?
Right.
So I asked for World Series tickets, and we all know the prices were ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So the way I was trying to get roped in, I had to buy a 20-game package for a pretty good chunk of change.
Right.
There would have been 4 seats for my family. And they would have given me a discounted price for World Series tickets.
Right. You
couldn't do it for Game 3. Couldn't do it for Game 3 because I thought the seats they were offering were pretty bad. And they came back and offered me 2 tickets tonight for Legends.
Wow.
I couldn't pull the trigger on the 20-game package, man. It was so expensive.
Yeah.
And that 20-game package was for next year, obviously. So you got to buy season tickets for next year.
It would have been 4 tickets, Delta Suite, and it's like I couldn't do it.
That's a tough proposition to turn down.
It's true because I've bought tickets from the Yankees, obviously.
Yeah.
I bought tickets a lot. When you buy tickets from the Yankees or really any sports franchise, they have your email address and they will email you. I got an email about 2 weeks ago saying, hey, you want World Series tickets? And I'm like, sure. What's up? What up? What's going on? You know, I'm thinking Mets, Yankees,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
They're like, 20-game package and you get World Series tickets for a very reasonable price. And I'm like, that's a really interesting offer, but I can't commit to the package. Obviously,
right.
You know I'm a Jets, Knicks, Nets, Mets season ticket holder. It's too much for me. But that is a thing, and that was a choice that some Yankee fans had where you could get into the World Series for a very reasonable price. I mean, expensive, but reasonable compared to the secondary market. But you got to commit to 20 games next year, and I know a lot of people just can't do that.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I can imagine that it's like – you want to do it simply so you can be here today. But then you'll regret it next year when you don't have that income anymore. You spent that money. And you're like, I don't really want to go to this game in August or June when it's hot as hell. I want to be on vacation. What am I doing with these tickets? And now you got to try to sell them, put them on the secondary market yourself, which is hard. Yeah. Now, if you're like Evan, who's mastered this across the five season ticket packages that you hold, it's easy, but it's hard if you've never done it. It's
also
a process.
Even I, as a veteran of it, it's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing you want to be doing is be held with tickets. Look, my advice to anybody, especially right now, you still have time. This is the last baseball game in New York City in 2024. We already know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The next game will be in March, all right? It'll be Yankees opening day, Mets opening day. It's a brand new year. It's like a million years from now. If you want to go to the game tonight, especially on a gorgeous night, you go on SeatGeek. I mean, that's honestly the best option. I was looking at the get-in price right now. A lot more reasonable than Game 3.
Yep.
Kind of in the same range as last night. You can get in. By the way, for a decent seat, this is like an Evan kind of seat.
Jeez.
I'm showing Tiki this seat. That's an Evan view.
Oh, yeah.
Upper deck behind home plate.
It's a little bit over from where we are right now, but that's a great view.
$7.97 a ticket.
That's not bad.
It's expensive, but you're in the building for the World Series.
Are you guys watching this?
Watching one.
We're doing
a radio show, Sean.
No, but this is important. Observe what's going
on.
Go
ahead. What do you got?
This is the second time in the cage that Gleyber Torres has been up.
Yeah.
He is hitting moonshots.
Yeah,
he is
hit
on
at least
it.
Five
he is
home
roping
runs.
It. So while Evan is giving you a good advice on coming to a game, I'm giving you a good advice on winning a little money. You download that FanDuel app. I think Glaber's hitting one out. Or a couple total bases. He is just mesmerized rocking these balls.
Yeah. How often do you watch batting practice?
A lot. I understand that it's freebie pitches. Evan, I've sat and watched batting practice here for 3 days. Nobody on either team has looked as good as Gleyber Torres does right
then
now.
Then I want to see you. I want to see you actually do it.
I just did.
Oh, you already made the bet?
Oh, I did.
So what was the bet that you made officially?
Well,
so we can
of
be
course,
on
I got sucked into a parlay, as you can see right here.
What's the parlay?
Okay, here's the Shawnee parlay. I got Gerrit Cole, 6 or more strikeouts.
Okay.
Gleyber Torres, 2 or more total bases. And a combo, 2 or more hits between Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge.
Mm. Put Mookie in there?
Well, they give you these, like, combo bets. So Mookie get 2 hits or Judge get 2 hits or 1-1.
Okay. All right, so you didn't do what you said about Gleyber. You made a whole
I put
parlay.
Him with 2 or more, well, because I'm a sucker.
All right. Let's go to David in Bedminster. What's up, David?
Hey, I don't understand why you would let Sean do a Cinco de Fivo about the 2004 Red Sox when they beat the Yankees. That's totally unbelievable to
because
me. And then to even...
David, he did it yesterday, and it worked. Yankees won.
It worked. Get over it.
No, man. You mentioned Big Poppy. You can't do that either.
You just did.
We never said his name.
He should not be named.
We alluded to him. He's Voldemort to us.
It's interesting,
everybody
David.
Knows his name.
David, you're an interesting person. I'm not ripping you. I don't say that in a kind of like a douchey kind of way. I admit what I don't know. I admit what I'm like. Even I as an IBO, I don't understand this. I admit I do not understand the relationship the Yankee fan has with talking about 2004. So when I hear Sean say, I'm embracing it. I'm trying to come back from 3-0. I look at him and I'm like, okay. But then I hear David in Bedminster.
Years ago, though.
But did you hear David?
I did.
He sounds like a genuine guy.
I know.
He was disgusted by the thought of talking about it.
But why is it still fresh?
Because it's pretty bad.
It sucks.
Okay, but it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No, hold on. It is bad.
And you won a World Series in the interim.
No. It's going to sting because you're the only team to do it, Tiki. That's why. It's the only team. So whenever this comes
up. Okay, but you know Virginia was the only 116 that lost.
And you know what
they did? They went and won a championship the next year.
Right. And then guess what? Virginia, on top of winning the championship with the 09 Yankees, they stopped hearing about it because then it happened again, the 16-1.
No, they stopped hearing about it because they won a championship.
Right. Well, tomato, tomato.
It didn't matter.
Fine. The Yankees didn't win a championship in 05, so it took a couple
But they
years.
Won one in 09.
Okay, but it's still, because now, whenever somebody's up 3-0, that graphic pops up, and all of us talking, we bring it up. There needs to be a second so the Yankees stop hearing about it.
No,
what better way than
the
being the second?
What do? Oh, you mean the second to...
The second team ever come back from 3-0 down in baseball. This way, it's not just the Red Sox did it. Then it becomes white noise. Ah, it's old hat. People can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees need to make it old hat.
Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. More of your calls. Plus, Tiki hit on it. The key tonight is Gerrit Cole. What are the expectations, not just from us as baseball fans, but from the manager himself? How far will he push his ace tonight?
How far should he push his ace tonight? We address it all coming up as we are live from Yankee Stadium, taking you right up until the pregame show. We are also doing it from a very mobile, very versatile Spanish broadcast booth, also known as the Town Fair Tire Studios.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On an absolutely gorgeous night from the Bronx, Evan and Tiki broadcasting live from Yankee Stadium, just a few hours away from Game 5. Will the New York Yankees be the first team in World Series history to go down 3-0 and force a sixth game? Or will the Los Angeles Dodgers celebrate their first, let's face it, real championship since 1988? Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about the glove-snatching, ball-snatching fan and how they've been banned from Game 5. We don't know about the future, but we know that for tonight, those guys will not be in their season tickets because of the incident last night with Mookie Betts. And I asked Sean, can you go up to Randy Levine and ask the Yankees what's happening with those tickets? Sean failed, but don't worry, we have the answer. And this is a very classy gesture by the New York Yankees. According to the Yankees, the tickets that were used last night by the ejected fans have been redistributed to a pediatric cancer patient and their family.
Oh, that's cool.
So, great gesture by the Yankees. That's who is going to be sitting in the seats tonight at Yankee Stadium for Game 5. Now, I don't know if people are still going to talk or care about this, but I do wonder, morbid curiosity more than anything, are these guys going to keep their seats for 2025?
Yeah, I think they will.
You think they get it back? No harm, no foul, we move on?
I do. I think this was a Major League Baseball thing and not a New York Yankees thing. The Yankees would be foolish to turn away a willing customer.
who
I don't know how many tickets he buys, but if they've been planning this for a decade, I'm sure that they've been here many, many times. So, not counting his money, but I'm assuming it's not an issue.
I'm going to assume you're right. Sean, can you look into that during the offseason?
Sure, I'll contact Randy again. Yes.
Thank you very much. Now,
they'll also, by the way, be like thumbs down guy. They'll be getting selfies with people.
Yeah, probably. Now, as far as Gerrit Cole tonight is concerned, before I offer you my opinion on what he needs to do tonight, I want you to take a listen to a woman who's actually sitting 7 feet away from me. This is Susan Waldman, very succinctly and passionately, earlier today here on WFAN with Brandon and Sal, pretty much laying out exactly what Gerrit Cole needs to do tonight. Take a listen.
Gerrit Cole better be out there in 110 pitches tonight.
Damn right. She's right. Yep. And here's what's crazy about this. So it's very succinct, very to the point. He better throw 110 pitches. You ready to want to have some fun, Teague?
Go ahead.
When's the last time Gerrit Cole did that?
Never.
Well, the answer isn't never, but this season, the answer is never. He has not done that yet this season. In fact, in his last start, he threw 88 pitches. In his start before that, also in the postseason, you know, like kind of important games, mm-hmm. he also did not break 90 pitches. He threw 89 pitches. In his start before that, you want to guess or should I just tell you?
78.
87.
Close.
His start before that, 80. So in the postseason, Gerrit Cole has now made four starts, 80, 87, 89, and 88. During the regular season, and that's what's kind of funny about this whole thing, he did have a handful of starts when he went over 100 pitches, but they were three in a row and they were in July. Since then, which definitely leads to the question of, hey, how healthy is Gerrit Cole? Here are his pitch count figures starting in August. 91, 90, 95, 95, 91, 82, 99, 68, 99, and the only time he went over 100 was his final start of the year against the Orioles. He went to 101.
Yeah, so he's healthy. He wouldn't have been going that deep if he wasn't healthy.
Is he going to 110?
I mean, does he need to go to 110? That's the question. I mean, if the Yankees are up 6-1 in the sixth inning, does he need to keep pitching?
You're right. The scenario may dictate.
Yes.
If he's
maybe. You're right.
Look.
Okay, so the eighth inning, does he need to keep pitching? No, you throw in Luke Weaver for an inning.
As long as he's the best pitcher or the best option,
yeah,
and you're not in Weaver territory, the answer would be yes, I would want him on the mound. I would want him on the mound until he's not my best option.
Yeah. So how many outs is that? Six?
How many innings is that?
How many outs left? Six.
Three.
Three?
You going all the way to three?
Well, obviously, the pitch count in innings doesn't always correlate, but if we're talking about 100, 110 into the eighth, yeah.
If he's at 110 and it's before he's in this eighth inning,
well, then
there's
different.
A problem.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Look, Gerrit Cole did not pitch on short rest. We don't know if he would even be available in game seven out of the pen. You have seen the bullpen, or the bullpen has seen the Dodgers and their lineup a million times here. This is what it's all about now with Gerrit Cole.
So
go shove tonight.
It's interesting, Tiki. You talk about pitch counts.
Yeah.
In the four games this season, only four, where he threw over 100 pitches, he actually didn't go deep into those games.
Right.
Six innings, 106 pitches.
But that's kind of a problem because he's laboring to an extent.
Well, it's the hypocrisy of managing in Major League Baseball.
Yes, you're right.
We'll only let you throw a lot of pitches when we really need it over five or six innings. But if it's the eighth inning, we have to take you out.
Right.
Gerrit Cole pitched a complete game this season. He had one game in which he pitched nine innings. He threw 99 pitches.
Right.
So, he didn't need to throw over 110.
I think this is what Susan was alluding to, or at least trying to implore. This is the game where you do that.
100%. This is the game where the tank is empty.
Right.
This is the game where I vehemently disagreed with Aaron Boone not pitching him on short rest, but it's over.
Yeah, you got away with it because you mashed the bullpen.
Okay.
And now you have the advantage in a sense because it's game five. It's at home. You have Gerrit Cole, the one ace that's in both these teams in this World Series, one true ace that's on both these teams in the World Series, and you need everything you can get out of him because this might be – probably is going to be the last time he pitches in 2024.
It is the likeliest scenario it is. I think the only scenario where he pitches again is out of the bullpen in a game seven on 2 days rest, but you got to get there. So this is the empty the tank kind of game, not just for this season, but forever.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I laid this out. He signed a long-term contract with the Yankees. He has fulfilled more than half of that contract. He's been here for 5 years, and he's been a great Yankee. He really has. I am no longer at the point, if I'm Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone, where I'm thinking about year seven or year eight. I'm at the point of, I have a chance to win a World Series. I have a chance to do something no team has ever done, which is force a sixth game in the World Series after being down 3-0. And I am not thinking about his long-term health. I am thinking squarely about, how do I win this baseball game?
Yeah, well, you need to do that because when you sign, you mean your thinking is correct, because when you sign anybody to a massive contract, it's not just because some of it is because you want to sell jerseys and get people in the ballpark and everything else, but a lot of it is you want to win a world championship because when you do that, the economic benefit to your team is massive. Now, do the Yankees really need that? No. They're one of the most lucrative franchises in all of professional sports, and that includes the international ones. But if you win a World Series with the New York Yankees, it is hugely beneficial economically, and it justifies every dime that you spend on Gerrit Cole, even if he doesn't pitch effectively for the next 3 years or 4 years or whatever it may be.
I agree, and I think that Gerrit Cole is a great postseason pitcher. The numbers are the numbers. For those that don't know, and yes, we have to include Houston, we have to include Pittsburgh, that's his entire sample size. Gerrit Cole's made 21 postseason starts. He's pitched to a 2.91 ERA.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's a very good postseason pitcher. But with the New York Yankees, while he has not been bad by any stretch, he's actually been mostly good, he has not yet had his defining postseason moment. He almost did in 2020 when he pitched on short rest and pitched into the sixth inning and gave his team a chance to beat the Tampa Bay Rays in a fifth game, but he really didn't have it that year. He didn't have it in 2021 when he had his worst postseason start at Fenway Park in the wild card game. You want to tell me? Game four against Cleveland in 2022, I will totally give you that's the closest thing he's had to it.
Yeah.
But think about it, Tiki. It's game four of the division series. His ALCS start against the Astros was not great, not helped out by his defense, but it wasn't great.
No.
So he has
That's
not,
the one that people talk about when they think about the negativity or getting older or not quite still having it. It's that game. But he's come back from that.
He has, and that's
he
why
won a Cy Young after that.
That's why I say he's not been a bad Yankee postseason pitcher by any stretch. He just hasn't had the moment yet.
Yeah.
And this game is setting up to be that moment. No matter what happens after this in Los Angeles, this is why he's here. He is here to pitch Game 5 of the World Series, and he is here to deliver like an ace. So we've talked an awful lot about Aaron Judge's legacy. And to your credit, Sean, you brought it up before this series. But now we're at a moment. We're at a game. Gerrit Cole, fair or not, and it is mostly not fair, I admit that, is pitching for his New York Yankees legacy.
Yes.
He really is. He gets bumped today. Well, I think that's what will define him. He pitches brilliantly today. I think that'll be what defines him.
And I think the three-day rest thing only compounds that. When you hear him yesterday, there weren't even discussions, which means the other way. Gerrit Cole didn't go kick the door down and say, give me the ball on 3 days rest.
Right.
So if you're not going to do that and there's not going to be discussions, then game four has to be everything you have, the best we've ever seen of Gerrit Cole.
Game five.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting the game
number
we're at. Game five. Everything you ever had, toughness, bulldog mentality, just go out there versus this great lineup, give your bullpen a break, and get this thing back to California, and let the topic be tomorrow. Damn, can you believe what an ace Gerrit Cole is that he just did this and put all the pressure on the Dodgers?
The thing is, I don't think he's thinking that. I don't think Gerrit Cole thinks about his legacy. I think he just goes and does what he does. He just seems like such a creature of the moment that he's in, and he's worried about that moment and that moment only. I guess maybe in retrospect he'll evaluate his career and what he means and what his legacy is and all that other stuff, but I think I think it's almost better for him not to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you start thinking about what this means for you, it often you get distracted by it.
I agree.
As a pitcher, you can't afford to be distracted by it.
I don't think the athletes should think about their legacy. Let us NARPs do that. You know, let me and Sean and you're not a NARP, but you're not a player anymore. You're just sitting here drinking a beer. Actually, it's a coffee, and we're just chilling with our feet up, and we're like, yeah.
I mean,
bitch better pitch well.
We have been doing 5.5 hour shows for the last week.
Does that mean you need a beer or coffee? Or
that's both. Another vote for the Dodgers for Tiki tonight.
No, I mean, this is the last game we're going to be at, unless you guys want to fly to California. And I admit.
Actually, I'd be fine flying to California.
Would you?
You know why? Because it's 3 hours earlier.
That's true. That's a good point. I may have orbited the prices.
And?
I swear to God. We would leave Friday morning.
Okay.
So we get the Halloween with the fam.
I mean, you would leave Friday morning. I need to be in Philadelphia.
You can make it back. Your game is Sunday. Game 6 and 7 is Friday and Saturday. You got plenty of time.
By the way, if you worried about Philadelphia Friday, you wouldn't be at any Dodger game.
Yeah, so we would leave Friday morning, have to make about a 6:30 a.m. flight.
Okay.
We'd get to California local, like our time, at about 12:30. So we'd have about an hour and a half to get to a studio.
Okay.
Probably Dodger Stadium would be our studio.
Yes.
Then we go to the game, see if there's a Game 7. And then fly back, red eye, late Saturday night after the game is over.
Nice.
You go to Philly, we come back to New York.
I mean, it is a 4 o'clock game.
You got time.
I have time.
You want to do it?
We'd land back at like, I don't know, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning or something. Go take a quick nap. That'd
don't
cool.
tickle my undercarriage, Evan.
Don't do it.
I'm in.
I saw the prices, all right?
Uh-huh.
Now, my former bosses have always said you pay yourself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Give me a glance, Mr. Boss Man. $700 a ticket round trip. Too much, or should we pay ourselves? Well, too much? Pay ourselves.
All right.
Don't worry. We have, by the way, Joe and I did that in the past. $700's a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah.
But I did look it up.
Let's drive.
I swear to God, you can fat. We don't have enough time. I already did that.
Yeah.
I already looked it up. This guy thinks I F around. I do not. I already looked. We can't. The only way.
What if we get there?
Yeah.
We couldn't get there.
Yeah.
We would miss game six. We would have needed to have missed this game and driven already and then stopped in a city to do the show. And think about how ass backwards that would be. We'd miss game five at Yankee Stadium.
And if they get eliminated?
So we could drive somewhere where there may not be a game.
And what if we flew somewhere cheaper like Reno and then drove from there?
I did that too, by the way.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you don't know that?
You did that too?
So Beningo and I. When we went
He didn't do it for this trip. He's just done it before.
I've done it before. I did not look into that, but Joe and I wanted to go to Jets Chargers. not the one from 04, weren't working together. The second one,
right.
The one where we beat him in the 2009 season, January of 2010. So I'm doing all the legwork. I got the airfare. I was like, all right, Joe, Cherney's already told us, you're paying yourselves, all right? I'll give you a studio. I'll let you do a show. I'll even sell the show, but you're paying for all of it. And we're like, you know what? Whatever. We'll do it. So we look at a flight to San Diego. It's $500.
flight to L.A., rent the car, drive an hour and a half, $275. So we flew to L.A., drove to San Diego, did the show right after Jets-Chargers from the booth, came back to L.A., did our Monday show, flew back. So don't play with me. We've done it all.
All right. All right.
Tiki's like, what the hell have I got myself in?
Tiki's like, get me to BT.
Hey, Matt Ryan, can I use your private plane, please?
Well, if you have that, that'll solve a lot of issues. All right, I promise. We'll get back to your calls next. How are we feeling tonight, Yankee fans? They won a game last night. I remember saying to Tiki 24 hours ago, all they need to do is win one,
yep,
and you'll start to believe again. So, Yankee fans, do you believe? 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. We are live from the beautiful, gorgeous Yankee Stadium, and we are here all the way up until 7:25 as we get you set for Game 5 of the World Series.
All the way up.
All the way up between the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.